Okay, so we're just reviewing quickly over here. Okay, so the essence of what Reb Chaim is saying up to this point is that you have to define what the Beis Din actually did under the false pretenses. Okay, so you have to compare it to what the Onesh in reality is and what actually occurred. That's the essence of what he's saying up to this point. And he's saying by Mammon and by Misa, the Beis Din is just the causative agent of a payment of money or a removal of life. So now, Lemafreya, Gilei Milsa, we find out there really was no Beis Din involved. It was all a sham. But that doesn't change the fact that what was done. What the properly convened Beis Din would have done is cause him to pay money, and that's exactly what he did. He paid the money. That would be awesome. What Beis Din did by Misa, what they would have done by Misa is they would have ended his life with Skila, Srefa, Herig, or Chenek. And that's exactly what happened. The knife was just as sharp, right? There was no difference. All you removed them was, the only effect of removing the Mafreya, saying the Beis Din wasn't really constituted properly, or sitting properly, or dealing with a real criminal, all that does is say that there was no cause there for it. There was no din of it to happen. But it actually happened, exactly what they sat down to do and exactly what they decreed occurred. But what they decree by Malchus is that he should be whipped in front of a Beis Din. And when we remove the Beis Din, Lemafreya, by the Malchus case, not only does it remove them as a cause, but it removes them as a part of the Malchus itself. So that means that they did not do what they decreed should happen. Because they are part of the Maisa. And saying that Lemafreya, there was no Maisa, there was no real Beis Din, that means there was no Maisa of Beis Din. If there was no Maisa of Beis Din, then there was no Malchus. It gets converted from Malchus Beis Din into just Chavola. So that lacks in Asa. You understand? That's the essence of what he's saying at this point. That they are part of the Maisa of Malchus. So as opposed to the paying of the money and the Misa, they're not a part of the paying of the money. There's no money paid in front of Beis Din as opposed to just Stam money paid. It's all the same. There's no Misa in front of, as a matter of fact, by Misa he's away from Beis Din. Right? They take him out from the Shah. So that's his point. Because logically, there's a big difference between Mammon, Misa, and Malchus. Now, Mammon would be Asa under this idea, except for the fact that it's reversible. Okay? So, but in terms of whether it qualifies as also, yes, it does qualify as also. That's why the Rambam has to say, by money, it's not done, they don't get the ownership of the money because it's returned. But his question is, by Malchus, it's not returned, obviously. But the only reason it's, therefore, by Malchus, this is the question he's answering, the reason why they don't get Malchus is because it actually wasn't done. Because what they tried to get done couldn't really be done, or wasn't done, in reality.
It's what you wanted, it's not what was actually done.
Well, that's getting into the next question. First he's evaluating it on what was actually done, right? So in terms of Malchus, he says the Malchus was not actually done.
Okay.
So by the money, it was actually done, but they still pay because it can be undone. Right? In order to be potter, it has to be done and final. So by the Malchus, it wasn't done, and by the Mammon, it wasn't final. Okay? Okay, but now he goes further. This is like a good first level of understanding. But he keeps trying to get deeper and deeper. And this is like this. Vinira, the next paragraph, So now you have to understand when you come into this paragraph, he's saying, I'm going to give you a bit of a deeper understanding now. Okay? You have to see what he's saying deeper here than what he was saying before. Okay, that's exactly like the board demonstrates. Right? That part is not different. That's not what the Chi of Malchus is doing. That's not what someone who is Chi of Malchus, that's not what's happening. Let's just get it clear again. It's not that there's a chiyuv to get a certain onesh. It's not that they are chayuv to receive money or misa. What is it then? Mashenekin b'mechuyve malkus. Etzem hachiyuv. Mashvi lo lemalkus shetehe nechsheves malkus. Okay. What does that mean? That's what we're saying over here. That by malkus, it's different. By mamon and misa, there is an institution of mamon and misa apart from Basedin. And the chiyuv is simply to enact that which exists already apart from Basedin. There already is in reality an idea of paying money, and there is already in reality a din of being put to death. Those aren't phenomena of Beis Din. Hold on. So all you can say by Beis Din is they stand in the position of enacting something other, something that exists. You understand? They're middlemen over here. But by Malchus, the chiyuv of Malchus is not saying this person now is chayav in something. The chiyuv of Malchus actually makes it into Malchus itself. Put another way, without the chiyuv of Mamon, there really was a payment of Mamon. And all the chiyuv of Mamon did was say, you should pay him money. So with or without the chiyuv, there's no difference in the nature of the payment. There's no difference, I should say, in the quality, in the what of what happened. The same what happened. The same phenomenon of the money going from one person to the same payment was made.
But the chiyuv of Malchus is just a beating. It's just a beating without the chiyuv of Malchus.
So that's what he's putting it now in a positive sense. He's saying the chiyuv of Malchus, the etzem chiyuv is mashvi lo la malchus shetei nechsheves malchus. The etzem hachiyuv mashvi lo, it means it makes the malchus into being malchus. Ukimo dechazinan degam bekofso uborach mifter mi malchus. What is this? V'hainu mishum shekvar niskayim bo v'nikle. So in other words, I looked it up again. There was a drush. It's a drush over there. It says v'nikle achicha beinecha. So the drush is once he's nikle, he's considered achicha. So in other words, once he has a kiyum of being embarrassed, and Rashi says in Shuas that itself is like a bizayon, that he was like a frantic guy and broke out and ran away. That itself has a kiyum of being a bizayon in front of Basin. So what is v'nikle achicha saying? So the Gemara is saying once he's nikle, he's already considered achicha. Very nice. Very nice. What does it mean, achicha? It means to say, that's Rashi and the Chumash says. The whole time it says, in bin hakos ha-rasha, when the guy is a rasha and he has to get malchus. And then it says at the end, v'nikle achicha le'inecha. So he says, once he has that idea of being reduced and embarrassed, now we call him achicha. Okay? But that's very nice. I mean, let's say, but the fact of the matter is, he had a chi of malchus. Let's say a guy was a Russia and he killed somebody, or he did it was Machal Shabbos, and Basedin says Yechayev Misa, right? And then he does tshuva and becomes a tzaddik gomor. Are they not going to? They have to kill him. There's a chiyuv Misa. There's nothing they can do about it. The chiyuv was imposed. We don't say, well, once if you turn out to be a nice guy after the Chi of Misa, we let you go. But by Malchus, he's saying there is a phenomenon like that. Of a Nikla, he becomes a Nikla, and then he becomes a Chicha. And then he doesn't get the Malchus anymore. He says, why? Because now there's it removed. He's saying, I think he's trying to say, he's saying over here, that there's a Petur. What's the Petur? That it wasn't really a din. Let's think about this for a minute. I don't want to get ahead of that well. Shekvar niskayim bo v'nikla. He means to say there's that the malchus is not really what?
The beating.
It's not the beating. Correct. The beating itself is really a method of v'nikla. And once he has the kiyum of v'nikla, then, in other words, the beating is a certain, there's a chiyuv of creating in him a status of v'nikla. That's really the machayev of the malchus. That's really the chiyuv of the malchus. That he needs to be a nikla. And since the chiyuv is what makes malchus malchus, once there already is a kiyum of v'nikla, they can't give him malchus anymore.
So what are they saying causes that?
So they're saying that's the halacha, that if he does something else happens, like he urinates on himself or defecates or he runs away, those are all considered to be acts of a kiyam already of v'nikla. So it's not that, you know, as he's trying to show you that the very idea of this petur is that the malchus itself is not a din of he should be beaten. Because if it's just a din of he should be beaten, then he already has the chi of, then what's the difference if he's, then how would it be removed just because he was nikla? His chi of was to be beaten, right? So he's saying no, the whole chi of the malchus is that it should create a certain, it's not really a chiyuv. The whole din malchus is not really a din of a physical beating. It's a din of a kiyum of a certain chiyuv of making him a nikla. So once he's a nikla already, you can't give him the malchus because the malchus would not be creating nikla. The malchus is only malchus insofar as it's creating a nikla because the malchus is not a physical thing. So once he already has Nikla, they can't give him Malchus. There is no such thing as Malchus anymore. Yeah, Gil.
All right.
Exactly.
That's
exactly. Right. No, Gil's saying right that here the Malchus is a means to a certain ends of a Nikla, as opposed to the other Onshim, they themselves are the ends.
What's a Nikla?
The Nikla means to become light, like to become embarrassed, to become degraded. So, I mean, we could think about why running away is considered to be a degradation. But that's how they learn. They're learning, like, if a guy was so... I think it's because they're learning he was so...
He's cowardly.
He's cowardly, right. He was so cowardly. Take it like a man, as they say. Take it like a man. That's right. So that itself is... the cowardliness is a bizayon to the guy.
It's
now it's like this. V'chein chazinan de omdin oso v'kol shebishas gemar din. I want to pull everything out of here. V'kol shebishas gemar din lo hayochol lekabel shuv miftar mehashar ledas harambam v'af behivri achakach mishum shekvar niftar b'gemar din shel miktas malchus. Now he's going a little further. It's a little bit of a different angle. He's saying a little bit deeper now. He's saying, let's say a guy was, whenever they give a Gemar Din, so they give an Omed, that means they estimate how many you can take. Okay? They don't always give a guy 39. If he is a weakling, maybe they'll give him 6. Has to be in threes, right? Because it's 2 in the front and one in the back. One in the front, two in the back, I don't know. But it has to be given in groups of 3. So let's say they evaluate at the Gemar Din. They say, he's Chayav Malchus, And the expert says he can only handle 9. Okay? Then when they come time, when it comes time to actually give him the malchus, they say, you know what? He must have been on some program because he can take 39. Now, he's really stark. He's really stark now. So what do? They only give him the 9. They only give him the 9. So the Rama, so he's trying to pull out of that what? What are they trying to pull out of that? That what is the chiyuv of his malchus? It's what was fixed at the Gemar Din. At the Gemar Din, they gave him a chiyuv malchus. And the malchus is only malchus kifi the chiyuv of the din. So if at the time of the Gemar Din they said he can only take 9, that becomes the chiyuv malchus itself. And any more would be a beating because it wouldn't be fulfilling the mechayev of the Gemar Din itself. You understand? The whole thing, and he's trying to explain to you even deeper, one cut deeper, that when they make the omed, they are not just thinking how many can he take. They are actually establishing and defining the extent of the chi of malchus itself. They actually are creating the phenomenon of the malchus. I want you to think about this carefully. If you look at malchus as something apart from the chiyuv, and this is what he's trying to come at from a few angles to get this thought out of your head. If you look at the basin as just affecting beating, and that's what malchus is all about, then you could look at it like this. Say, look, at the Gemar Din, there's a 39 whipping. There's a beating of 39 malchus. That's out there. Based in, at this moment, can only say you should get the 9, right? But that doesn't mean that there's not still existing this idea of a 39 sets of malchus. That still is there. They're just saying at the Gemar Din, we think you can only handle 9 of them. So what is he really chayev though? There's an unlimited amount. He's chayev up to 39. They can only implement this amount. So maybe you'll say when if at the time of the beating itself, they realize they were wrong and he can, or things change, now he can take more, so give him the more that's available. Give him the more that's there. Give him the full set. But he's saying, no. It's when they say that he can take 9, they're not just giving an estimate. They're not just saying, practically speaking, how many he can handle. If it was a practical question of like, practically he can only take 9, then if at the time of the malchus he could practically take more, then they should give him more at the time. But he's saying, no, if you look at the Gemar Din and the psak over there, at the Shas HaChiyuv, as actually giving existence to malchus, so at the Gemar Din they only gave an existence to 9 malchus. The Chiyuv itself was only Tofes 9. And anything beyond that 9 wouldn't be coming from the chiv of the Gemar Din. So there simply is no more malchus. There is no such thing as more malchus for this guy. You understand? Exactly. And then he goes even one step further. He says, and then he goes one step further. He says, V'chein, ha'edim zomim lokin kol ha'malchus. Oh, he says, Bishim Shekvar Niftar Begamar Din Shel Mixas HaMalchus. That already was established as his form of Nikla. So that's it. So there is no, they already established that 9 is his Nikla. So they can't give any more. Right? Now he says an interesting phenomenon. Let's say you have a case of Adam Zomim. And let's say the Adam Zomim are trying to be Machayev him Malchus. And he's a weakling. So all the Beis Din said was 9 for him. But the Adam Zomim are strapping young men, they can handle 39. How many do the Adam Zomim get?
39.
Why? They were only trying to give him 9, you could argue. Right? Well, what were they Zomim to do? So you could, if you would say that there's such a difference between Malchus And if you'll say that Malchus is really a beating, now he's coming at it from the other end. Listen to this. If you'll say Malchus is really just a physical beating, okay, so then what would you say? You would say, well, these Edom tried to get him beaten up this amount, 9 whips. So then they should get 9 whips. Just like if Edom were trying to get a guy to pay $100, they should get to pay $100. Now, maybe you'll tell me it's not fair because nine whips for him doesn't hurt as much as 9 whips for them. But that would be like saying if a guy's a millionaire and he tries to get a poor person to pay $100, then maybe Basin should say, yo, you pay $100,000. That's not how it works. You go by the din. So if the din of Malchus is a physical, if Malchus exists, listen to this, okay. If Malchus exists as based in simply imposing a beating on a guy, then the also has to be simply that amount of beating. And if this guy was chayav to be beaten 9 times, then all the Edom should get back is a 9-time beating. You understand? But what he's trying to show you is, no, that's not what Malchus is. That's looking at Malchus like an end, like you're saying. That would be like looking at Malchus as like paying money. So if they only made him pay this amount of money, they should pay this amount of money. But no, that's not what they were trying to do. When they were Kasha Zomam, they weren't trying to beat him up. What were they trying to do? They were trying to achieve in him a din, Malchus. A din of Nikle. The din of Nikle, now the din Nikle that was imposed on him has to be imposed on them. But the Malchus is only a means for Nikle. So if it only took 9 to achieve the din nikla by him, that doesn't mean it will only achieve 9 to achieve the nikla by... In other words, you have to look at what they're really doing. And to look at what they're really doing, you have to understand what Malchus really is. If you look at Malchus, and everything he's saying here now, he's just trying to break you from the thinking that Malchus is actually a physical punishment. And that the kiyum and the end result of the Malchus is that he's physically beaten. If you think about it that way, then he's saying they should get the same beating that they were trying to impose on him. Okay? But he's saying, no, the whole din of Malchus, the whole chiyuv of Malchus, is to create this kiyum of v'nikle. That's really what they were trying to impose upon him. And the kiyum of v'nikle depends, has to be evaluated by the Beis Din. How will there be a kiyum nikle for each person? So it could be that they were trying to impose a v'nikle on a weak guy, and that would only have taken 9. But for them, it would take 39 to have a v'nikle. So that's exactly what they get. They're getting the same exact kiyum. The method, the means, is not what they were trying to impose. The kiyum is what they were trying to impose. So when we reverse it back on them, we reverse back on them the kiyum, not the particular means that achieved it by this guy. So there's no kasha that they were only trying to give him 9 malchus and they're going to get back 39. Because it wasn't 9 malchus that they were trying to give. They were trying to impose upon him a phenomenon of a v'nikle lifnei Beis Din. You understand? He says, V'hainu mishum de b'shneim shavim de din malchus aleihem. Now he's calling that the din malchus. In other words, the whole entity of malchus is not a beating, but it's this phenomenon of a kiyum of v'nikle. So they both are exactly the same. 9 for him is the same as 39 for them. Hold on. V'lo ichbas lon mashe ze loke pachos v'ze loke yoser. That's just the means. We don't care about that. Oh, mikol makom tervayu din malchus aleihem. They both got the same exact din. Asher mikol ze nira de b'malchus etzem achiyev shal malchus mashvi lo l'din malchus. That really, so what comes out now, what he's saying is strange, is just to put it in a different way. He's saying, what really is the chiyev malchus? It's to create a phenomenon is to create the din. Whereas when Beis Din has a, when someone is chai of Malkus, that really means is that Beis Din now must create a din Malkus. They must use the Malkus to create the phenomenon of Nikla. That's really the chiyuv. That's really what the chiyuv is. It's not a specific amount of beating. So really, I would put it a little differently. I would put it like this. That really the chiyuv of the chiyuv is, like we were saying the other day, to have him become admonished in front of the Beis Din, to have him be degraded by the Beis Din, demeaned by the Beis Din, corrected by the Beis Din. It's like a maisa of the Beis Din. And the Malkus is really the mechanism, the primary mechanism of accomplishing that. But it's not a din of Malkus itself. Okay? Ulefizeh, he says, when the Edim are Zomimim, so by Mamun and Nefashos, there's no problem. Mikri Shinasa Bo Shelo Kedin. So we say, what was done was done. The Onesh was done, but not done Kedin. Right? Asher Zeo Bechlag Zeir Sakosa, Kasher Zom, Lok Asher Osa. There is Mikri Osa Ma Shinasa Bo Shelo Bechiv. It's called Osa. But by Malkus it's different. Why? Because the etzem achiyev hu shemashve oson ledin Malkus. Im kein behuzmu ha'edim nimtzad lo avin Malkus klal. Okay, same thing. But he's tightening it up a little bit more. He wants to say over here, really, what's part of Malkus is really this whole thing. This is really what makes Malkus Malkus. The fact that it's an implementation of a method of correcting or tochacha or admonition from a the whole institution of Malkus is different. He's saying the institution of Malkus really is like I would say like I was saying yesterday. It's like based in. It's like a. It's really like a method of correction is what I would really say. So that phenomenon doesn't exist when in reality there was no error. The phenomenon does not exist. In other words, if we say that Beis Din gives Malkus, that means to say that it's Beis Din's obligation to take a sinner and correct his error, help him to correct his error. That's really part of the whole thing of Beis Din. That's part of the whole phenomenon of Malkus. That it's not really, we don't have a maisa of the institution of Malkus. Let's put it this way. When we say that Beis Din gives Malkus, it doesn't mean that Beis Din says this guy has to suffer this pain. Just go back to the other thing. That's when we look at it in general. We look at an onesh, so we'll say that Beis Din decides he deserves this amount of punishment. Okay, and a punishment is simply we take bad things, and we say which bad thing should happen to him. Right. If that were the way it was, then Malkus would be no different than any other ownership based. Since that's not what Malkus is at all. Malkus is a different phenomenon. Malkus is saying that the Beis Din takes the person who is a chote, and Malkus is telling you that you have an obligation to correct his ways. You have an obligation to subjugate him, to subjugate the one who is the sinner to this process of correction. The process of correction is culminated when he has a certain, when he is nikle beinecha, lefonecha. But it's not really a punishment, it's sort of like a a remediation. You understand? It's a remediation. So you can say that if there was a mistake in the din, a person got the punishment accidentally. That you could say. But you can't say if the person needed no remediation that in fact he had a remediation. You can't say that a person really was fixed if he was never broken. You can say he got the... If you look at Malchus as simply... We have a selection of bad things to do to people, and Malchus is what we choose to do to this guy. So we say, well, look, the whole thing was wrong. Did you really do what you intended to do? I'll say, yeah, because all we did was we decided he deserved a certain amount of beating. And he got exactly what we decreed upon him. But if you'll say Malchus is a method where Beis Din is involved and takes the guy in and corrects him and makes him and corrects his ways and fixes a problem that he had, because sometimes the guy needs a little help to fix a problem.
The guy didn't have the problem.
If he didn't have the problem, you can't say anything really happened. You can't say they really gave him the Maisa of correction. Right? It would be like if a doctor thought he healed somebody, and it turned out the guy wasn't really sick. Would you say, well, he really healed him? No, of course he didn't heal him. They thought they were healing him, but he didn't have the illness. So I'd say, Lema Freya, they didn't heal him. All they did was poked him with needles. But they didn't really heal him. What he's saying is Malchus is really like a healing process. I mean, I'm putting that all in. What I'm doing is I'm giving a way to see why what he's saying makes sense. He's just saying the halachic elements of it. He's saying, halachically speaking, based in, and Malchus exists as a part of the very based in itself. It really is only existent in the chiyuv of based in itself. And you can't look at it as something based in orders to be done. You have to view it completely as part and parcel of the maisa of based in itself. I'm giving you like a way to think about it, why it should be that way, why it makes sense that is the way it is. Okay, but that's the difference between, he just gives you the straight halachic definition. Halachically defining it, he'll say, there's a difference between Malchus and the other things. Okay, fine. All right, I think we've been over this enough. Yeah, right. So now it comes out, that's why it's like this, Kevin de bot lachi of memela ein bot din Malchus klal. Right? Vim kein han nimtza de huzmo edem lo nasa bo din malchus klal. Val kein leolam havi rak zoman velo osa. Val kein zer shaposak aram de edem leolam chayavan af shekvar huku anidan. Yeah. So in other words, if there is no reality of the chait, there's no reality of the malchus. Because the malchus needs the chiyav in order for it to really be malchus. It needs to be, it's premised on a reality of an error and a mistake that needs some sort of realignment. So without the reality of the chiyuv, there simply is no reality of the malchus. Of course it hurt him, but it was not a din malchus. Yeah, right. So he says like this. But now he goes into one step. Now he says like this. Now it's going to come out a very funny thing. Can Edim who try to give somebody malchus ever succeed? So by definition, no. Can Edim, Zomim, can liars, can Edei Sheker ever really accomplish giving the guy Malchus?
Yeah, it exists in a vacuum.
Can they? No.
Yeah.
Because by definition, Malchus needs a true reality. Malchus needs a reality of needing the correction. And the sheker means there is no reality. So it comes out that it's simply, by definition, impossible for Edim to conspire to give somebody actual malchus. Right. I don't want to run out of time. So he says like this, Im Kain, Haleka Gam, he says, so then now maybe you'll say there's no such thing as Edim Zomim on malchus. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Vasisim Lo Kasher Zomam Lasos Lo'achiv. You do to them what they wanted to do to their brother. But to want to do means that it's possible to accomplish it. So it's impossible for them to be considered zomam la'asos, the impossible. So since it's impossible for them to actually give true malchus, how could they be considered zomam la'asos malchus? Right? Mishum d'leka bo kasher zomam la'asos. Imkein lifteru edem zomam shal malchus legamri. Gam below also. Now it should come out the other way. Even if it was never done, they should be pater. Because it would be like Adam Zomim coming in and Adam lying and coming in and saying, we want you to give him the onesh of making him eat, something that tastes bad. There's nothing. They're not trying to do anything. There's no onesh like that. There's nothing. They're not doing anything. So they have to be actually trying to get something real done. And they can't really get malchus done, so they're just not Adam Zomim. So they can never get punished. So he says, that's not possible. That's obviously not possible. So what must you say? Ella, I'm just skipping the Grusha case. Ella Vadai. The Grusha case is also interesting. He says the same thing like a Ben Grusha. Let's say Adam come in and say, this guy is a Ben Grusha. He's a Kohen, and they call him a Ben Grusha. So he's a Cholo, right? So in reality, are they making him? Are they trying to make him really a Ben Grusha?
No,
that's impossible, right? In reality, they can make a guy chayav meat, they can make a guy receive the death penalty. And in reality, they can make a guy pay money. But they can't, in reality, turn the guy's mother into a grusha,
yeah.
Right? So that's his problem. That's the problem I said exists from the very beginning. There's a funny combination of sheker and emes over here. And on the one hand, the whole thing is a lie. And on the other hand, we're evaluating things by what they really are. But now he's saying, look, if you evaluate things by what they really are, then the whole institution starts to break down. Because then you'll say they could never be chayav for being zomem to give the guy malchus, because in reality that can never happen. They should never be chayav for trying to make the guy a ben grusha, because in reality they can never make him a ben grusha. So he says, no, you got to stop this already. This is getting crazy. Right? So what must you say? Elahach Dina. Did I skip something? Yeah. Elavadai, right? Dibidin kashir zomam daininan. Dikol she'im hayasa edusan emes zehu mikri lasos. Okay. We have to go like this. Say, we are charging you with trying to do something. Your defense can't be, but I couldn't really have done it because in reality it wouldn't have been malchus. That's chutzpah. So that's not a defense, right? So he says, when we evaluate the Adam's Misa, we evaluate it from the perspective of what they were saying being true. Because that's how they were presenting it. They were coming and presenting it as being true. So when we're charging them with lying and being Adam Zomim and trying to accomplish something falsely, that's exactly the way we evaluate it. We said, how do we evaluate? We said, we have to evaluate what they were trying to do as if what they're saying was real. So in other words, like this, were they trying to accomplish malchus? So from the framework of the lie that they told, assuming that lie to be true, it would have been malchus. If we have to view it from the reality that they were trying to impose on us, and there can't be any defense from that by saying, well, it was all a lie, so I wasn't really trying to do anything. Can't be any defense. Well, but in reality, what I was doing wouldn't have happened. No. The whole isser is to try to change reality. That is the very isser. To be a guy who comes in and tries to change and fake reality. So the defense can't be, but I couldn't really have done it. In reality, it couldn't have really happened because God would have known that he wasn't really chayev, and God would have known that it wasn't really malchus. That's not a defense for trying to fool people. You understand? So in terms of evaluating the chait of the gavra, we evaluate it from the standpoint of what he was doing. And what he was doing was saying this was true. Were this true, it would have been Malchus. Therefore, from his standpoint, he was trying to impose Malchus. Avi?
You still get that.
So then we give it back to them. So he says that's in terms of evaluating them. We'll say you were Kashir Zomam Lasos because assuming what you're saying. In other words, when we want to evaluate the Maisa of their Eidus, then we say, how do we evaluate what the Maisa of your Eidus was? You were coming in and trying to say that you're giving true Eidus. So let's evaluate what true Eidus really would have been. If it really would have been true Eidus, it would have been creating a true din of Malchus, because you would have been telling the truth. So now we'll say your Zomam on that entity of true Eidus, so therefore your Zomam on real Malchus. But when we want to know, are they Potter because of Asa, that goes by Asa in reality. They can't change reality. So when we say there's a patur of Asa, the patur of Asa simply goes by the reality of what actually occurred. They're going to be chayav based on what they tried to do. But the patur of Asa is based on what actually happened. So it comes out a mismatch. They're going to be chayav for trying to impose Malchus, even though they couldn't really, because we're going to view what they tried to do based on if it were a reality. So we'll say Eidus Sheker means they were trying. When we evaluate their Maisa, we're saying they were engaging, they were trying to achieve true Malchus. Because that's what their whole lie was, to try to forge a reality that didn't exist. So we'll have to evaluate what they were doing based on if that reality were true. In other words, how much of a distortion of reality were they doing? Well, let's see, if they had imposed this reality, it would have been Malchus. So we give them that. Okay, that makes perfect sense. But when we say there's a patur, because the thing actually happened, that goes, and we have to ask, well, in reality, what happened? Was there an owner's based in here in reality or not? So therefore, they'll be chaya for the Malchus and they'll never be pater. Because they're chaya for the Malchus, because in terms of Kasha Zomam, we view it Ilu Hayisa Emes. Ilu Hayisa Idus and Emes. That's how we define what they're doing. But the Petur is defined by reality. So in reality, there never was a Maisa based in the Malchus.
Good.
Now, he says, really, in truth, you could say that's really the machlokas between the Raivad and the Rambam. Okay? Like this. Be'ikar hachdina didarshinan kashir zomam lasos v'lo osa yesh la'ayin. We have to think into this a little bit deeper. Okay? Right? It's amazing. He just keeps going. A little bit deeper. Anyone get to this chakira?
Kind of.
Im ha-miyotu, what's the miyot? The miyot is asa. We say the edim zomim get the onesh as long as it was zomam and not asa.
Why do we need to make a chakira now? Because of the
rabbi. We'll see. Because that's what we do. So he says, im ha-miyotu al shenase bo ha-onesh. I'll give you guys a quiz here. It's a chakira. Is the miyot, because the onesh was done, Oz miftri ha'edim zomim. In other words, that's the patur. The miyad is edim zomim get the chiyav unless it's asa. So what is that miyut of asa? Is it al shenase bo ha'onesh? Because it was actually done. O de ikar hachdinahu de kevin de nase bo ha'onesh shuv lo havian od zomam lasos. Or is the patur because since it was done, they're no longer intending. V'kevan deleka zomam lasos alkein miftriya edim. Chakira. What's the patur of asa? It says, v'zomam lasos, it says, v'sisem lo kasher zomam lasos lo achiv. So what does it mean? It means they conspired to do. They attempted to do. And they're going to get what they attempted to do. But if they actually, if it actually was done, then they're not going to, then they're going to be pater. What's the nature of the patur of the va'asa? Either it's what or it's what? If you're not going to tell me what or what, I don't want to hear you right now.
Oh, I was going to ask.
Either it's what? Either it's just a patur, that if what they conspired actually occurred, they're pater. Okay, that is, it's a miyut.
That's the first side.
Right, it's a miyut. If it was done, then they're pater. Or, since it was done, they're no longer considered zomam. It's like a fulfillment of the zomam. In other words, what's the patur? What's the reason they don't get the onesh? Is it simply a gzeiras hakasuv that when there's zomam, they're chayav, and then if it actually occurs, there's a patur? Or is it they're only chayav in the state of anticipation? But if what actually they want happens, then they're pater. That's how he wants to define the machlokas. If you're going to say that it's the patur is because it was done, then what? It wasn't done. Then that means in reality, that means to say that if what they wanted to do actually occurs, that's a patur from their Adam Zomim. But then we have to evaluate it in reality. Did it actually happen? By Malkus, it never actually happened. So there never is a patur. In other words, when they intend to do it, they get the full-blown chiyuv. And that chiyuv is permanent. But there's a patur that the chiyuv is removed if the thing actually happens, there's a patur. So it can never happen by Edom Zom, by Malkus. But if you say the whole chiyuv is because they are a certain type of a group that are waiting and hoping to accomplish what they planned, then we have to view the accomplishment in the sense of the plan. And even though in reality the Malkus never occurred, but just like we evaluate the Asa as if it were true, we'll have to evaluate the Kiyum of the Asa as if it was true. We'll have to evaluate the accomplishment of the Asa as if it was true. And therefore, we'll say that there'll be Potter because they got the Malkus that they wanted to get. So that's his last twist. That really it comes down to, the machlokas comes down to, what's the nature of the patur of kasher zomam velo kasher asa? Is it simply that if there's an asiya, if it's asa, that's an extraneous patur? So then the asa has to be evaluated in objective terms. Did it really occur? But if it's a patur that they're only chayav when they're a zomim, but the asa is not an extrinsic patur, it sort of extinguishes the phenomenon of zomam. They're no longer a zomam. According to the first way, they're always adim zomim, even though it occurs. They're always adim zomim. And they really should be chayav. But there's a patur. For some reason, if what they wanted actually occurred, then they have a patur. But it can never actually occur. So all it would be is be stuck as Adam Zomim, and the phenomenon of the patur can never come about. But if you say it's one seamless institution, and it goes like this, if you intend, you're going to be chayev. Now how do we view the intention? Based on if it were reality. That's how we view the intention. Otherwise you never have the Adam Zomim. So we say you intended to give Malkus. In what sense do we mean you intended to give Malkus? Because on the intention side, we always have to view it as if it were true. And then we say, and if what you intended occurred, then that removes your status of being intenders. But then how do we have to evaluate the removal of the intention? Has to also be ilu hayisa emes. Now, as if the asa is simply a completion of the zomam, then it has to be viewed both in the framework of ilu hayisa emes. But if the asa is an extraneous patur, then it has to actually have an existence of an actual asiya. And by Malchus, it can't. Right? Let me just read it to you.
And your plan was successful.
Exactly. He says, "Lufi ze im neima de'ein etzem apatur shela edim zom mishum osa ela mishum diha osa goreim shelo yushuv zomam lasos." If the patur is not really because of an actuality of an osa, it just has the effect of removing the zomam. Im kein sarach lios de kemo ba'din zomam lasos dainin ilo yisaidus nemes. Kemokin b'sha b'osa ikahach gzeras akosiv. Did I need an ilu ha'isa edus unemes? So then, just like the gzeras akosiv tells me that we view the osa of ilu ha'isa emes, if the osa is part and parcel of the zomam, then it also comes under the gzeras akosiv of we view it of ilu ha'isa emes. Kevan dein ze din osa, rak din, rak bitl zomam. You understand? It's a removal of the zomam. Ulingin zomam lasos harei dainin kimo shoy saidus nemes vim kin gam a bitl. Now, as if it's a removal of what was, then the removal has to be under the same framework as the way we defined what was. He says, Uvenira de kein hu das harivid. To call ikar hachdina the kasher zomam velo kasher osa haynu mishum de b'osa nisbatel hazomam v'al kein savrele de lo'on daninin lo kemo shahoyisa idus nemes. We always are under that framework. V'al fagav de l'fi emes lo havi osa of mikom kol mikri bitol zomam asas. Right? V'al ramam sover de hayvi and trei dinim. It's two separate dinim completely. There's a din that defines you as an aid zomam, and then there's another din of a patur. If it's one din, then it has to be under the framework of ilu ha'isa emes, just like the whole asas ilu ha'isa emes. The bitl has to be. But if it's two separate dinim, there's what makes you an eid zomim, and then there's a separate din of a patur from an eid zomim. So then, the bechi of the kashya zomim mazlin and basa idus and kemosh ha'isa emes uli ha'patur to also be an asa mamish. V'al kein b'malkus lo naase bo malkus mamish shapim mikri kashya zomim lo asa. V'al kein. So in other words, put it to you in one svara wise, the question is, what's the asa? Is the asa a removal of the shame eid zomim? Or is it a patur from the onesh of eid zomim? If it's a removal of the shame eid zomim, then it has to be in the framework that gave him the shame. What gave him the shame? Ilu ha'isa emes. So then the removal is in the framework of ilu ha'isa emes. But if it's a removal, a patur from the onesh, you still are an eid zomim, but you don't get the onesh of an eid zomim. If it was also, then it has to be viewed on its own framework of really being an also. You know what I mean? He gives you the, is the way you have to really, what's amazing about it, I mean, is the way he proceeds. I don't know if this is the way he thinks, but it's the way he proceeds, the way he explains it. He gives you the core idea. Right? Then he always backtracks a little bit because of some little problem, which reveals a bigger idea.
Core idea being?
The core idea is that Malchus is different than Mammon and Misa.
Okay, good.
But then the problem is, if you really is never such a thing as Malchus Alpi Sheker, then how do you ever have Adam Zomim to begin with?
Okay.
So then you must admit that in terms of the osa, we view it simply of ilu ha'isa emes. That's the whole gzeiras hakosav. That when we evaluate the osa, we evaluate it ki ilu ha'isa emes. Ah, then it turns out that now we have a legitimate framework that tells us that even though Malchus is not Malchus in reality, but the gzeiras hakosav tells us to view it in terms of evaluating the shame eid zomim, we view it as emes. Then it comes out that the patur that now it's going to come out that that's going to be a chakira in what the asa does. If the asa is simply a removal of that shame, then it will also be in the framework of ilu ha'isa emes. But if it's an extraneous removal of the onesh, then it's viewed on its own terms. I think the lesson over here is that really is the way the mind works. The mind makes a breakthrough, it jumps and it sees something, it catches his eye, Malchus is different, and then you've got to really work it through the details. In other words, you can't work up a svara detail in a detail way. You got to make a certain break and see a big idea, but the big idea is not complete. You've got to run it back and see the details, and when you work it through the details, then you really see the full picture. I just think it was a great expression of that method. Exactly. What Matt is saying is a very, very important point also. You can't be afraid, and I always try to say this, you can't be afraid of what question you think is going to be lurking around the corner when you say an idea. You have to say the idea anyway. Then see if you can work out that question. Because you never know what's a real question, what's a tiyufta, what's just a misconception somewhere else, where it can lead to other ideas. And you never know once you develop an idea, what the rest of the thing is going to look like. So it might turn out not to be a question. But the point is you can't be so cautious as to never say an idea because of the fear of a question that you think is going to be there. Of course, you can't just plow through and say, I'm going to work with my idea and ignore the question. You got to have the perfect balance.
It's like a right. prior point to understand.
Right. And the reason he presents it that way is because I think we can only understand it the way by developing our minds in the same way that by developing our way of thinking about the thing. And that's the way you develop your thinking. You get the basic subject matter right, and then you work through the details. Just give us the finished product, wouldn't be good. We wouldn't be ready for it. Mm-hmm.